you're still kind of doing stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're sitting here today.
Retired as an AP sports staffer.
But
still, still
occasionally here and there.
Still dabbling here and there. Yeah.
I like that. I'm glad you're dabbling because we're happy to have you with us.
Well, I was just going to say, I enjoy being with you guys. This has been a lot of fun for me.
Good.
I still think Emeritus. I think we need to get you a corduroy jacket with elbow patches.
Yeah.
And we need to get you a pipe.
That's not bad.
Have you teach classes on the side.
And I feel like Donald Sutherland and National Lampoon's Animal House. There you go.
AP Emeritus. Let's just go with that.
All right.
Is that okay? We'll go with the initials.
Sound way too dignified.
Well, it does. I kind of like it. Tom's in for Andy today. Dano, run it. You just heard Dan. Meredith's taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. Here we go. Whether we're ready for it or not, the NFL is returning. Yeah. And it happens this time every year. It just seems like this one snuck up on us pretty quickly, Tom. Rookies reporting for the Browns today, as you mentioned in the jumpstart. Sources telling you we will not see Quinshon Judkins, at least right away, reporting to the Browns for rookie camp.
Correct. You know, in my previous life, today's one of those days where it really felt like summer was over. You know, oh God, the rookies are reporting. I'm going to be out there for, well, it's not 2-a-days anymore, but long days in Berea and what have you. So
until early mid-January.
Yeah, it's a grind. No Judkins. Obviously, unfortunate situation. We still don't know all of the details. Some of them emerged this week, though, right? We got a better handle on what exactly had happened. You know, it's a bad situation on a lot of levels. You know, one of them being that it's obviously another red flag for a Browns draft pick. You know, a year after they had a similar situation with Michael Hall Jr. You know, by all accounts, there were no red flags on this kid, right? And he had looked good in the early sessions at camp, what have you, the OTAs, all that kind of stuff. You know, he's going to be a big part of whatever they're going to do this year on offense as well. So that's another part of this story. But as I mentioned earlier, a lot of things to sort out here still. Still has to sign his contract. Will not be on the field, obviously, until that happens. You wonder now, though, Jeff, what this transgression has done to his contract situation. You know, again, we don't know all the details yet. This is all going to have to be, you know, played out in courts or outside of court or what have you. The league is going to have to step in at some point here to have some kind of ruling, I'm sure. And again, another distraction the Browns don't need.
If we look at the way things have gone down in the past with situations like this, Tom, you assume there's a suspension and you assume that he returns to the field. I would bet the Browns don't put him on the field even if he's not suspended, until there's some kind of resolution about this?
I don't know. I think we had the opposite last year with Mike Hall. I think
that's true.
Remember, then, they put him on the field, and then the suspension
came. But Mike had
a
contract.
That's a good point.
So
as
I
well.
Wonder how this contract thing,
yeah.
I mean, this is a bad deal.
Yeah.
But the timing, if you're Quinshon Judkins, couldn't have been worse. It's like, no contract, and now you're in trouble?
Yeah.
So I could see it'll be a terrible look if the Browns sign him to a contract right now. But on the other hand, he's a player and you need to sign him to a contract.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go through the whole protocol and procedure of it all, right?
So I mean, if they just go about normal procedure, normal business, they're going to sign him to a contract.
Yeah,
but that won't look good.
No, it won't. Nothing's going to look good here for a while, right? So my gut would tell me, Jeff, that he would not be on the field for, you know, obviously this first part. Veterans, you know, report next week. First couple practices, I could see then on, you know, a week, let's say July 25th, 26th, suddenly, okay, Quinshon Judkins is on the field.
And
that kind of situation.
And it would be slightly downplayed because the veterans are already here.
Exactly.
They're already going. We've already seen Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, and they're the quarterbacks. And it's not like you're reporting the first day when rookies are supposed to report.
Right.
Like nothing happened.
And not to use the political parallel here, but it's kind of a flood the zone type of situation, right? There's kind of a lot of things going on. And then suddenly number 10 he's wearing, right? We'll be on the field. So again, you know, just another thing that it's always seems to be something with this team, unfortunately, that's not related to football. What they don't need, you know, again, they were hoping for big, and obviously it looks bad too for the Browns too, that let Nick Chubb walk away.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's something that we beat the drum on for, for months at a time? You know, like why can't you sign him to a team friendly contract and bring him back for a year or two and see if he's still got it?
So which he got in Houston.
Yes, he did.
He didn't get a big contract in Houston. He got a, hey, you can come here and be a part of this and see if it works.
You're right, Jeff. But, and I know in fairness to the Browns too, that Nick, because I had heard this through some other back channels, was kind of looking for a change of scenery. You know, and not that he doesn't love Cleveland and not that all those things he said about Cleveland are not genuine. He does.
Well, and we get all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can understand that.
I do too, right? Yeah. I mean, you get to a point where like, oh man, it's just not working out here for whatever reason. I need a fresh start. And the Texans are going to give him one. And I'm hoping he runs for 1,500 yards.
It's interesting, though. He goes to a situation with Joe Mixon there. So we'll see how all plays out.
Yeah.
If you're the Browns now, though, Tom. And I made him nauseous the other day. Luckily, he kept everything down. It was good. But I said, okay, so until he's out there, Quinshon Judkins is not in this backfield. Okay, until he's out there. So Dylan Sampson, terrific. Jerome Ford, who they liked so much, they drafted two running backs and cut his pay, even though they guaranteed his pay. So we can say all we want about Jerome Ford. They drafted two running backs.
Gives him another opportunity, though, too.
It
Jerome
does.
Ford gets a
it
little
does.
Opportunity to...
Pierre Strong. Never know. And a young guy from Marshall who's big bruising guy. We'll see. And I said, you probably need another running back. I threw out some free agent running back names. That's where Dan got nauseous. I said, Gus Edwards. Gus is out there. Get on the Gus bus.
It's played.
You need a body, don't you?
You know what?
Do you need a body?
I would feel better if you picked up the phone and called John Kelly, because I'm sure he's still floating around.
Well, and he knows the playbook.
Knows the playbook.
He knows all 17 playbooks since he's been here.
Exactly.
But John Kelly came and went from Berea more than any player, I think, in Browns history. To your point, though, Jeff, there's a half dozen of those Gus Edwards types out there.
Yeah, but the Browns have as many quarterbacks as running backs on the roster right now.
Maybe they can make one of the quarterbacks a running back. We got plenty of options.
Joe Flacco seems game for anything.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about Ford, though. I mean, that just occurred to me that, hey, this could be a chance for him to really, like, step it up.
He could.
Yeah.
Well, if he needed a reality check, hey, we drafted two guys, and
you're making less money.
And here's your pay cut.
Other than that, we really like it.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Your uniform has been laundered, and here's your helmet. Go get them.
The thing that's tough to me there, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay, all this is going on. In a year where every indication is we're going back to the Kevin Stefanski running type of offense, we're going to let the offensive line do their thing, and we're going to put the quarterback under center a lot. We're going to run play action. It's based around the running game. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Still a lot can happen, though, Jeff. I mean, but this could all get resolved, right? And it could be a blip and a clean slate.
They find nothing. That could be. But it's bad for the reputation.
It is.
At the very least.
But, you know, I think it was interesting as well. And I cautioned people right away to avoid jumping, assuming anything, being presumptuous about anything. And as we've learned in the last week, right, this story is there's more than meets the eye, right? I mean, but obviously, there are some facts as well. There's some undisputed facts. For all parties, I hope it gets resolved because it's just it's not football, and we like talking about football.
The strange thing to me since the Browns draft, and I understand it because it's quarterback, it's running back, it's offense, and the offense wasn't good. The Browns' top two draft choices were on defense. And I don't think that's been played up enough, Tom, because
I would agree with you.
They, you brought in Carson Schlesinger, first pick of the second round. You traded down. You didn't take Travis Hunter, and you get Mason Graham just to put in the middle of that defensive line. To me, that was an indication of what the Browns were thinking. Okay, let's shore up that defense. Let's make sure we have guys. We'll put Mason Graham there. JOK's not here. We need another linebacker. Let's get that. And now we'll turn our attention to some of the things on offense.
And that obviously comes on the heels of a record-setting contract for your best player, right? So you're thinking, okay, maybe we can play this the Mike Tomlin way, right? Maybe we can have an aggressive defense. Maybe Schwartz can get more out of this group that underachieved last year, right?
Yeah.
That was
comparison to 2 years ago.
2 years ago, right? Yeah. They definitely took a step back. But you had a couple guys that, didn't have good, you know, Martin Emerson Jr., for instance, a kid who I think has all kinds of talent.
I do too.
And I think can really be a long-term answer for them at a very important position. You know, you get a kid like Denzel Ward, who I think is tracking towards, you know, one of the best careers maybe we've had. If he can stay healthy.
If healthy, Hall of Fame career.
Totally. Mm-hmm. You know, I said that to somebody recently. I was like, I think that's a legitimate case for him. You know, again, should he stay healthy and keep tracking in the direction he's going in? But to your point, Jeff, maybe that's more what this team is about this year, right? It's to play real tough nose, hard defense, try to flip the field, try to make things easier for quarterback A, B, C, D, or E to get the team into the end zone.
E, wait a minute. Wait, you know, who's coming in? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. That's John.
Yeah. And try to win some 17 to 14 ball games.
Yeah.
You know, that could be the method going
Which,
forward.
Which, by the way, Browns fans would love.
They would
as
love
long
it.
As they were wins.
That's exactly it.
That's all that matters in this situation. The rookies reporting means that two quarterbacks who have been front and center in everybody's, you know, eye, in their view, in the attention, in the hope, means they're here and ready to go. We had a quarterback guru on earlier in the week who didn't really mention those two guys, but he mentioned somebody else in a really flattering way. We're going to play that for you coming up next on Baskin and Phelps. Tom Weathers in for Andy.